Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cheese and pickle.
Is what it should have sounded like on Saturday night, but no, no screen test, not even a bar.
I know. Maybe the expectations were too high.
Too high? Are you kidding me? Yes, they were much too high. Anyway, let's not get down on BBC's 100th birthday week just yet. Welcome to Come Strictly Dancing. I am Julia Rayside and he is Joel Morris.
And you've got a cold.
I've got a bit of a cold. I'm in a great big hoodie and I'm trying not to be too disappointed.
But come on, being snuggled up and watching the BBC kind of celebrate itself, been a kind of shame-faced,
we've we're
been
sorry.
Beaten up, bullied, broken. I really remember, because I'm so old, it would have been something like the BBC's fifth birthday or something when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And it being a really big deal, I mean, videoing all the programmes on the TV and keeping the programmes and watching them again and again. They were just so exciting. I think I can quote from them verbatim the interviews.
Aww.
And it felt like such a big deal. And now this sort of slightly broken, slightly ashamed BBC.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be, because it's making this programme that gets the nation together and makes us all happy. It should be really proud of itself, because it's
lovely. Instead, we got about three theme tunes and they're going to vaporise the Lady Doctor and that's it.
Yeah.
That's all they're doing for the whole of it. Just like, that's it. Sacrificing her. And three token theme tunes, good night.
What they're going to do, they'll do three theme tunes and then they're going to, in order to stop the woke happening, they're going to kill the transitioning doctor and that's it. Just to make everyone in Middle England happy and then the harvest will be good.
Phew, thank goodness for that.
Anyway, okay, Strictly, brilliant. 100th anniversary, 100 years of Craig Revel Horwood being celebrated.
I just put the opening routine, which they started off at Ali Pali, and I was quite hopeful outside the first BBC transmitter. I just wrote down at the end, kind of rather weakly, it was the full pudsey.
It was, wasn't it?
It was like half the effort they'd put into kind of children in need kind of montage. No. Also, I mean, I was sated later with my Rippon thirst, but there was no Angela Rippon.
Yeah.
At the beginning at all, and then they thought it's almost like they remembered to bring her back,
because we're aware of this. We've had this theory before. The spirit of Strictly is Angela Rippon high kicking on Morecambe Wise. That's all it's trying to do.
Yeah, from
all
behind her newsreader desk.
That's all it is, and that's all the sketches on Children in Need and Current Relief ever are. You want to watch a newsreader, and they want to be unexpectedly good at dancing. That is all we're after. To explain to our child.
And it's the other Morecambe Wise thing with the man newsreaders dressed as sailors.
Doing
it's Frank Loft dressed as a sailor.
Yeah, you want to see Eddie Waring doing a sharp cut with an acrobat.
I don't even know who that is, but yes, I do.
Yes, that's what you want. That's what the spirit of it is. And they conjured that a bit. So I wrote down, good, Morecambe Wise, show the heritage, what we're watching. And then all I wrote down was newsreaders and then no comment afterwards, because none of them did a high kick and none of them wearing spangles.
They didn't, did they? They had a couple of... So they basically danced around, was it 14 or 15 different studios?
Yeah, it's a big logistical
from the BBC
exercise.
Canon. It was jolly, and they'd obviously done it over quite a long time.
Do you know what it is?
What?
Shit.
What?
That's a huge logistical exercise. And it wasn't in 1975 because of Television Centre.
So
when they show
places.
This underwhelming thing now, and you go, whatever... That's because that was really hard for different production companies and different studios out to Ealing, into...
Wherever the Antiques Roadshow was that week.
And you're watching it going, I've seen that. And you went, no, when you saw it before...
Oh, you're right.
That was all in the factory. And now making it without the factory is really hard.
Oh, God, actually, that's quite depressing.
On the other hand, CGI Hey Dougie at the end of it. That was good. He had a stick. Made me think of the stick song. Brilliant.
And Pudsey playing a piano.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, bless him.
And
anyway.
Was the drummer? Was that the new director general? Someone like that.
I think
anyway,
so. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, no, he was on It Takes Two this week. He's the guy who did the... Isn't he a weather presenter who did... Or a newsreader, a regional newsreader, and he made a video of himself drumming along to the...
Oh, that's who it is.
...the news and or weather. I can't remember.
I lied to our child. That was the Director General. That's fine.
Okay, and he's the new Director General, because why not?
They all look so young.
I know, tiny child.
Anyway,
so we sort of wished a happy 100th birthday to the BBC and then got on with the dancing, which, of course, was supposed to be... I'm going to try not to repeat myself too much. Everyone... dancing to a classic BBC theme tune, of which there have been many. So no trouble finding 11 theme tunes for them to dance to, correct?
Yes, we're waiting for Ski Sunday. Waiting for Bergerac.
We're waiting for the Antiques Roadshow and Lovejoy.
And we are waiting for Bone Kickers.
Bone Kickers.
That's the least we can expect.
We didn't get many of those, did we? Let's face it.
No, we didn't even get Captain Zepp.
We certainly didn't get Screen Test.
Adventure Game. Rubbish.
I know, Julia. This is what I mean. There are so many. We know there's a brilliant band that our friend Rodri sometimes at Helms called Dream Themes. Actually, he's moved out to the countryside now, so they've probably killed them off. And they would go around just touring venues, doing weddings and stuff as well, just absolutely knocking the roof off venues with...
Yeah.
A kind of never-ending, relentlessly cheerful melody of TV theme tunes from yesteryear.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, it's not like there weren't lots to choose from.
They're not short of them.
No.
Ronnie Hazelhurst's estate, don't mind. It's fine.
Yeah.
Just do it.
And I also have to
dance to Sorry. Some Mothers Do Have Them. Just do Some Mothers Do Have Them. Just do it properly.
I think we're just going to badly hum a lot of theme tunes in this now and then not pay the royalties to any of the composers.
No,
all I will say is, well, when we did get theme tunes, obviously... Those are the theme tunes that are, we know them well. Grandstand, Blue Peter, they're ingrained in our DNA. It turns out that something made in a studio with loads of production, you can never quite replicate with a small live band. No matter how good they are, and Dave Arch and his men and women are the best, but they still didn't quite manage to recreate many of the theme tunes they tried.
And also, I'm not a trained musician, but one of the things that's very, very good and hooky, very hooky in a theme tune is to do things like weird time signatures, drop bars, things like that. That's what makes them catchy, which makes them really hard to dance
Can't
to.
Can't dance to them.
Yeah. A lot of theme tunes don't have the regular pulse, say, of Angels or The Bill.
Angels and The Bill, of course. Very regular pulse type theme tunes.
Yes,
I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But you're correct.
But yeah, sometimes they're quite hard to dance to. So when they do rearrange them to make them danceable, you go, oh, it's not a theme tune. So it can't please everybody.
No, you're absolutely correct. All right, come on, let's get on with the dancing.
Bloody hell.
So we started, in pretty good fashion with Helen and Gorka. Helen obviously reaching not very far back into her heritage to bring up a Charleston to the Blue Peter theme tune.
Oh, yeah.
Which was sort of Mike Oldfield era.
It was the Mike Oldfield one.
The piping, because then they could do it on a synth and that's easier. But to me, it sounded a little bit like a sad recorder in a school assembly on a Monday morning.
Didn't remind you of the spectacular a location report from Simon Groom where he plays the Boron?
I mean, it should have done, because that's obviously one of my favourite things ever.
It completely did to me. I was there watching Mike Oldfield play the Boron.
You're more of a Blue Peter and just generally old TV purist than me, but still. I liked it. I didn't love it. I think the routine was great, though. They reminded you beforehand, in case you've forgotten what Blue Peter presenters are made of. She cycled to the South Pole. She walked a high wire over Battersea Power Station from chimney to chimney. She's made of extremely stern stuff. And it was almost a really nice way of underlining this week, you know, if you can't believe in yourself, for God's sake, woman, who can? You are tough stuff. You are able to get through the toughest things. This was the week she really needed to show, because her body can do it, she needed to show that her mind could follow and that she could believe in herself. And I think they were really pleased with her this week. They did sort of notice that her self-belief had definitely increased.
It was a great start. I just wrote down it was really charming, which is all you want from a Blue Peter one.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the prop work was amazing. They were doing things with balls, which is hugely risky. They just bounce off and could wreck the entire
thing. Some people tried things with balls that did not work out
and
later
this,
in the
with
show.
Balls, great. Yeah. And the final thing where they pulled up the little make and they'd made the judges, that was really, really nice.
I loved that.
It wasn't Tracy Island.
I want to know who made it because it was really, really, really good.
It was made by the ghost of Margaret Parnell. It was amazing because it's Halloween, so you can get ghosts to help.
next week.
It was really good. I thought it was really charming, and she was sensational. It was a really good start, and I think in a funny sort of way, I went, oh, this is all going to be brilliant. It made me think that all the dancers had come up a notch and the TV theme thing was going to work. It was a lovely start.
It was a really gorgeous start, and the judges were very happy with her. Shirley remained standing at the end of the dance and sort of paid tribute to her. All the judges said it was pretty much her best dance ever. And most of them gave her a 9, except for Craig, who gave her an 8. But it was her highest score of the competition to date, 35 points. She did very well.
Yeah, she deserved it. I thought it was excellent.
Hooray!
Hooray for Helen!
So then we got the terms and conditions from Moira Stewart. But confusingly, while the Ski Sunday theme tune was playing behind her.
Famous skier Moira Stewart.
I don't understand. Also, she's lovely but sort of humourless in a way that other older news readers perhaps might not have been.
She told me off at an awards ceremony once.
She told you off at an awards ceremony once. She was quite rude to my brother once and he was dying of cancer.
So, right, you know, that's Moira Stewart.
Between those two instances, I'm afraid she's on the list.
I must admit, I mean, I was really drunk at the awards ceremony. I did need
telling. You were probably being a knob, but my brother was just being nice. And anyway. she was a bit rude. So, you know, obviously I have a very long memory. I won't forget her. I'll forgive her for that. So anyway, Tyler and Diana next with their tango to Doctor Who. Now, first things first, the Doctor Who theme tune. If you get the gift of the Doctor Who theme tune, then you're going to win the episode. It's a banger. It's a guaranteed, like, sort of, what's the word? A floor filler.
Yeah,
it's I'm not a DJ. You might be able to tell.
It's a rave smash.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Bo select.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. Rewind.
That was last week.
Regenerate.
Yeah. Although I will say last week, I did then go on to see the Sugar Babes live in concert, and they did their cover of I Bring You Flowers, if that's what it's called.
You're very hip.
And by Sweet Female Attitude, thank you very much and good night. And I told our child and tried to act out some of how I was dancing to it, and they were so horrified that he died of shame.
Yeah, they cringed.
But anyway, back to Tyler and Diane. So no, it wasn't. There was no two-step this week. They were doing the tango to Doctor Who. And I don't know about you. She was a weeping angel. He was an unspecified doctor in a tailcoat.
When he was on the scaffolding, long scarf, ready to be Tom Baker.
He looked the part.
Exactly. There's a rule about how you dress as Doctor Who, and it's how you draw Doctor Who on the front of Viz when you're doing Doctor Who, and
that's
it looks
correct.
Like Tom Baker. Yeah. That is it. All the other costumes completely forgotten.
He is the only
that
Doctor.
That is how you draw. When Roger Melly dresses as Doctor Who, he dresses as Tom Baker. So he's dressed as Tom Baker, and, you know, this is, and he turns up, and he's just in a waistcoat.
Turns out it's quite hard to dance in a scarf. You don't want to Isadora Duncan yourself when you're halfway across the floor, do you?
I'm just saying, he's up against Hamza, and Hamza is dancing with an integral scarf every week.
Actually, you're right. Screw him. Tyler, you've let yourself down.
Make a shorter scarf. The end.
Anyway, it's a tango, so, you know, it's got to have lots of intent and lots of power. And he does. He's one of those male dancers, most of male celebrities, who does look like he's leading his partner around the floor whenever he's doing a ballroom with her, which is great, because that's really hard to do if you're obviously being taught a dance by somebody else, then to look like you own it is
act like the teacher is hard,
and Shirley liked his postural line, so it was very good. Moxie said he danced the transitions really well, it was full of intention. Craig says something about his bottom sticking out, but that it was quite driven and stuff, but I just didn't feel it. I thought, why am I watching a couple tango to Doctor Who? One of them dressed as a weeping angel, and I'm just sort of going, hey.
Yeah, it was really odd.
Why?
We've had Doctor Who and the theme used before in Strictly, I remember very distinctly.
Loads of times.
Yeah, it gets
sometimes
used.
Sometimes really well.
But it's a really tricky one. It's the same thing Bill Drummond said about the KLF when they wanted to do the Doctor Who theme. They found out there's only one beat that fit over it, which was the Glitter Band Glitter Beat, hence the Doctor Who theme when the Time Lords did it. It's not a regular dance.
No.
You've got to get exactly the right dance to go with it, because it's got quite... It's in threes. It's quite
relentless.
Hard.
Yeah.
It's sort of... Yeah, it's got a little odd counts in it, so it's a hard one to do. But I thought, and it was really strange, it felt really tense.
Yeah.
And obviously that's Doctor Who, it's horror, but I didn't enjoy it because it was so tense. It felt edgy.
Well, Anton
tango
agreed
is a bad
with
match
you.
For it, I think.
Yeah, Anton agreed with you. He said, and he couldn't articulate himself, this wasn't Anton's finest moment, but he was trying to say, or he rather did say, I just kept thinking you were going to cock it up at any moment, and I don't want to feel like that when I'm watching you dance. It was too tense. A lot of people tonight suffered from the kind of trying so hard they fuck it up thing. I think it's a really natural sort of early midpoint of the series where people are trying so hard not to go home that they over listen to the advice, they over straighten their neck and end up leaning back, they over compensate by putting their weight too far forward. They're just... they slightly can't control themselves, but all they know is they want to do this and they want to be here.
The whole episode, I thought, felt very week one. That way that week one is where everyone is trying so hard and everyone's pushing.
Yeah.
And last week
without the skill to do it.
Incredibly relaxing, incredibly enjoyable.
Last week was a weird freak. It doesn't normally happen. Yeah. 4 weeks in, you don't normally get people pulling out their best stuff.
It felt
and this week,
dip.
It had to dip, didn't it?
It looked tense and it looked like everyone was struggling. Like the band was struggling to work with the music.
Yeah.
That the music was struggling to work with the choreography. That the dancers were struggling to do the things they were being asked to do.
Yeah.
And end to end, I kept writing down, oh, I was expecting to really enjoy that, but I couldn't relax.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And this episode, I think they probably had to replace the 8 paddles halfway through. They were so overused.
Yeah,
every single 8. Number. They got the wall of 8. I think this is a really common thing I've noticed. Around about sort of Halloween, this time in the run, people plateau because there's only so much you can do. And some people plateau and stay there. Some people have a little stall for a week and then they go on to better things, which obviously lots of them will do. But yeah, all the 8s for Tyler and Diane. Also, they did mention, I feel bad saying this now, he did fly all the way to Mauritius and back to spend 2¾ hours at his brother's wedding. And obviously, this is the first ballroom he's done since week one. He went up 10 points from that. So obviously his ballroom hold and all of that
but
stuff
still,
is
was
better.
Was that worth it to wreck his family life?
I really don't think it was.
After a while, as with all television...
I'd have faked COVID this week,
you
I think.
Just have to say after a while, it's just telly, take a week off.
I know, go and see your brother.
On. But that's a problem inherent in the television industry, is that people's personal lives really suffer.
Yeah, and so does the planet with that carbon footprint.
Right, not cool.
I'm just assuming he had to take a private jet. No, I'm called
TARDIS. He just used TARDIS. It's fine. It's all fine. Nothing bad happens in Strictly. It's all fine.
So now we move on to Fleur and Vito's jive. This is the first I'm folding my arms, I'm shaking my head of the night. Waterloo by ABBA is not a theme tune. I don't care if it's a nod to or a suggestion of. I will not have the promise of theme tunes and then be given ABBA. No.
They should do it. They should be forced to do it to the Eurovision theme, the one that Katie Borrow is standing from.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. We know the Eurovision theme.
Yeah.
It's that.
And the thing I love about theme tunes is they're all too short.
Yeah.
And so most of the theme tunes they had to use, we're being so demanding, but it's true, most of the theme tunes they did use, they had to really spin them out because there wasn't enough of them for a 90-second dance
routine. I want a middle-eight rap in each one of them, even the Eurovision theme. But yeah, this was a nice Norton intro. I like Graham Norton starting off.
Yeah.
That was fun. That I did enjoy. I did enjoy the things they were playing with the formatting.
The framing stuff was good, yeah.
With putting little sort of effects on the voices and getting guests presented in. That, all lovely. Big fan of that.
So obviously they dress Vito as, I don't know, one of the monkeys in a kind of hilarious 60s, kind of 70s curtain.
Oh, he was, actually, our kid got this. He looked like He-Man.
Oh, he did.
Little Prince Adam wig.
Such a handsome man. Like, who did he piss off in the costume department this week?
It's a bit like Sean Raynard as Quentin. Yeah, you ever seen Sean Raynard's avant-garde 70s weird videos?
Do look him up. They're very, very funny and quite disturbing and will haunt your dreams.
Yeah, but it was Quentin doing a dance. It was lovely.
So it was a brilliant routine. It was really hard. It was really fast. She got her knees up to the required height, all of that business.
Oh,
Vito was drilling her during the week, trying to make sure that her knees were up to whack into his hand. He was, you know, the training looked pretty full on.
It was a full knees up Mother Brown training thing.
Absolutely. And she's got the stamina and the fitness to like barrel through this. But somehow I didn't enjoy a single step of it. And I don't know why.
Oh, you see, this is where I really enjoy this because I am.
Maybe I'm just in a terrible mood.
Well, no, because you weren't well. We're watching this separately because you were just coughing too much. I really enjoy this. I've got to a point now where every week I'm looking forward to Fleur. She is absolutely jetted
last
up.
Last week, I mean, I'm just...
She is jetted up. She's my favourite contestant.
Oh, really?
Okay. I think I've tipped. I think I really like her.
Okay.
And because of that, and I was looking forward to her, and because, I don't know, it's helpful, because it was a piece of music, it wasn't a theme tune, but it had its own energy. It's a piece of dance music, so she could dance to it. I really enjoyed it. It felt like it had that energy of a drunk party. It did feel like, you know, I mean, those Mamma Mia films are awful, but the energy of them, the everyone's at a karaoke bar.
I know, everyone's
pissed.
Letting their hair down. It's, they've brought their games in.
The mums on the lash energy of it, I really enjoyed it. It felt like a little party. And I think after two slightly, I thought Helen was good and Tyler was tense. After two where I went, is this going to work? And I was angry about it not being a theme tune. I suddenly went, oh, good, at least I get to watch some dancing. Yeah, I liked it.
Well, they, I mean, the judges were, again, there was a bit of a mixed bag. They did say, Craig said, we're being really picky now because you're so good and it's week five, blah, blah, blah.
It was my job.
He said it was boisterous. The timing went out a bit.
Boisterous, that's
the word. She did have a lot of energy. I think that's it. I think I like a jive that's kind of very staccato and clean, and you can kind of see all the retractions, yeah. And that's when I think, oh, you just look like a professional. And this one was kind of a bit I mean, she was very full splashy, of energy, but it was splashy AF.
Actually, weirdly, thinking back, Matt's jive was far more disciplined than this, and no one was relaxed watching Matt.
It was disciplined but entirely lifeless, like his whole body had been
but Botoxed. The snap that was in Matt's one, I'm suddenly thinking of the last jive I watched, and I went, actually, there was a snap that wasn't in this. This was all flinging your hair around.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Motsi said that she was doing some chassés that could have been tighter, so she was trying to find technical stuff, I guess. But she said the difficulty was there. Vito had obviously given her a very difficult routine. There was lots of power in it, Shirley said, and her solo bits especially are great. She looks so confident, just kind of being dazzling on her own. But Anton said at times he saw heavy-footedness, and but generally she's going in the right direction. So her scores were Craig 7, Motsi 9, Shirley 9. Sorry, Craig 7, Motsi 8 even, Shirley 9 and Anton 8. And it just feels like, I think I got to this dance and thought, oh, it's going to be one of those slightly, I don't know, sticky weeks where people just seem to be hitting their head against the ceiling of progress.
It did feel like that. It did very much.
So now we move on to James and Amy, who, if there was a prize for shamelessly trying to find a sob story where there is none, he would win that this week. And he danced to Julia's theme, thank you, from EastEnders. So it's the kind of little melancholy refrain before the da 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 da. Say if someone dies in EastEnders or someone gets in a taxi to Watford or, you know, that thing. So he was dancing to that. The best moment of the night, obviously, was that they got Craig to say, get out my pub.
Yeah, that's very good.
Which he enjoyed and I enjoyed very much too. And it was just one long kind of attempt to tug on the heartstrings that I slightly resented from start to finish. So the arrangement for this was, well, I don't know exactly the if Julia's theme, they were obviously, again, expanding it a lot because they needed to. And they did put like a lovely energy change in there where it was kind of very romantic, kind of sway foxtrot or kind of American smooth almost. And then it went into more of a foxtrot with that kind of floor, slightly spinny thing that they did when the energy picked up. It was kind of an entertaining dance. That wobbly lamppost didn't make me feel confident.
Oh, just honestly, I wrote down his confidence is increasing because you couldn't tell he was worried about that wobbly lamppost.
No, I know, exactly.
Heavier lamppost, please, next time. Yeah, especially swing
or just
on
don't
it.
Do the lamppost.
No one mentioned there was an amazing through the legs bit with her flipping
it
over.
It was really amazing.
And all the judges went, and he went, oh, I get really annoyed when someone who has been probably very, very mid-table puts in a thing that you go, that's beyond what I was expecting from
them.
It's
a bit dazzling.
And then they don't mention it.
No, it must be really annoying for them because they were on It Takes Two on Friday and we were watching it. I was watching it without our kid. And it was clear he was wanting to say but couldn't say, and there's a really exciting bit in it where we kind of pull out a surprise. And then, literally no one mentioning it. It did feel a bit... I did feel sorry for them because actually it was a good routine.
I think it was a better routine than the judges' comments did. And I think
way better.
I think it was one of the better routines of the night. I did enjoy it and it was...
do you really think so?
No, I think... I mean, he's really odd because he's so middle table.
Yeah.
And every time I watch him, I go, actually, you're better than I'm expecting.
He's not, mate. He's bottom table. He's only ever just above what's his face, Tony Adams.
But that's what it feels like, is it? He keeps getting bottom table results and he feels like a middle table performer.
Yes, I know what you mean.
And I think you say this a lot, as the standard improves over series, people who would have won series two are now languishing at the bottom of the table because everything, the standards have gone up and people are expecting so much more because they've had so many dazzling celebs.
He was the one I think most of all who was trying so hard to improve and listen to what they'd said to him. So he was trying to elongate his, you know, his posture. And they said he went too far back, basically, and he was almost leaning back, which meant everything. Once your posture's out, all the steps become laboured and thumpy and stiff and lumpy. And, Craig said there was gapping as well. Anton said there was a lot to like, but it needed neatening up. Shirley talked about it being the Rolls Royce of ballroom. But that his sort of postural line wasn't correct, he couldn't really do the smooth gliding across the floor you'd expect from that. And Motsi talked about it being a dance of two parts where it was almost American smooth and then foxtrot. But, you know,
I think he's stretching. He's at the edge of what he can do.
Yeah.
And they're saying he's improving. And I saw improvement.
Oh, he's
this
not going to make another couple of weeks, I think.
And,
yeah. it's,
and it, you feel that he's sort of about to peak.
I think so. If he's in the bottom two again next week, then he probably is going, because unless it's with Tony, obviously, because I think he more than peaked. I think the full Monty was his peak. what I didn't like was, I'm sure it was from the heart, but he kept on going on about how, and he did it on It Takes Two as well, EastEnders saved his life. And then he went on to say what EastEnders saved him from was like jobs doing scaffolding and anything he could to make ends meet. And if I was watching that and I was a scaffolder or someone who was doing one of the other jobs he said were beneath him, I'd be a bit like, oh, well, I'm glad EastEnders has saved you from my life.
And also,
it's a little bit
can't everyone
eggy.
Say that about whatever? I mean, providing you're doing the job that you like and you've reached a certain age, your job has, by definition, saved you from the job you were doing previously.
Well, yeah, exactly. It seemed a little bit, I don't know, not real peril.
I used to deliver papers. I thought I'd deliver papers all my life. Now you were 14.
Yeah, I was 14. Yeah, literally.
Not a story.
I don't think, you know, and maybe he was just looking something to kind of hook onto because he's worried about being low in the table.
Do you know what he needs to do? Talk to the story editors at EastEnders.
Actually, that's true.
Get something sensational. Someone in that cast is his dad.
I killed, and also he's killed his girlfriend with an ashtray, buried her in Epping Forest, and he's scared someone's going to find her. So that's where the extra tension comes
from. Right, story editors, get on it. Get something for James.
Anyway, Craig gave him a 6, Motsi a 7, Shirley a 6, Anton a 7. So he was one from the bottom of the table because that's how good everyone is now.
Bloody hell.
I know. Yeah, you're right. He needs a storyline and quickly. So then we move on to, I think this is my favourite dance of the night, or joint favourite, actually. It was Ellie and Nikita doing a paso doble to the dance of the nights from Prokofiev's Romeo and Juliet, of course. But you'll know it as the Apprentice theme
from Apprentice.
You heathens. He got the knee pads out for this one because there was some brilliant... I think his choreography for this was absolutely brilliant.
Yes, he is amazing work with this.
He can see what she's good at and she's really good, especially when she was mirroring him, the face-to-face shaping and kind of staccato arm stuff. She is as crisp as any celebrity I've seen.
The
she's
stuff
so
she's showing
good.
Off.
Oh, my God.
Because she shows off a bunch of stuff. She's showing off things like mirroring, so the dance moves are there. She's showing off performance, because the opening of this was just this astonishing laser-eyed performance.
Yeah.
And then she's showing off things like, that which you'd expect from a sports person, strength.
Yeah.
And bravery and things
her
like
that. Her core is like a little rock.
It's amazing. But it keeps surprising. I think because, and this is a terrible thing to say, she may have been seen as a novelty casting to go, oh, here's someone
the
you wouldn't...
Oh, sports people always are early on, and certainly a sports person like a Paralympian.
Exactly.
It's like, well, there's things they can't
what
do.
What can they and can't they do? And after a while, you go, nope, she can do all the things.
No,
it's
brilliant. She is an extraordinary dancer, I think. He got the knee pads out and he did, I wouldn't have known what it was called otherwise, but Shirley said a la passe on his knees. So that bit where you're kind of holding your partner, I won't describe this well, and then the male dancer kind of leans back and guides them round his head while holding their hands above his head, that kind of thing. It all looks very Latin and groovy. He did that, but on his knees, on his knee pads, so that he could basically make up for the height differentiation.
But it
just looked cool.
It was
looked
really
like an
exciting,
artistic decision. And then when he did some of that stuff, like, you know, when you're a female dancer and you're being spun, and it kind of, until you see them in rehearsal, you forget that they need to do very particular things with their body to look good being spun. Yeah. They don't just go limp. And she just holds shapes. Her core is absolutely astonishing.
There's something interesting going on with her as a performer. And I think it's really empowering, again, to come on as a Paralympian, as a disabled athlete and say, look, my body is a different shape than other people's body. What can it do? And it's as exciting as, you know, that moment where suddenly you realise someone's got amazing legs. The Angela Rippon effect.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go, oh, you're a weird... What
where
you're saying
did
is,
those come
you're going,
from?
You're a weird shape. You're an unusual... You're not the same shape as me. You're not the same... And yet, look at the beauty that comes out of the different
body
shapes.
Certainly not a dancer's body.
Yeah.
But my God, the stuff she can do with her body is quite wonderful.
The journey she's going on is so similar to the journey that had been done with other dancers, where suddenly a dancer's motion comes out of a body you're not expecting.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's basically Bill Bailey.
Yeah, no, genuinely, you're not expecting it. That's it. Craig was unbelievably miserly this week and said that their lift right at the beginning, where he lifted her down off the desk, took too long. So in its class, an illegal lift, you can't lift in Paso. Police. I know, exactly. So they were simply arrested and taken to prison.
It's a real shame.
By the women from the Bill. Well, just the legs of the women from the Bill. I don't know what the theme tune to the Bill is.
That
would be good for something. It wasn't the BBC though, was it?
And they could just show just the feet.
They literally could.
The footwork was very good. Couldn't tell about the top half. Don't give a shit about the top half. Waving your arms about.
That would have been a really interesting decision, but obviously not a BBC show. So illegal lift aside, he was saying that her Spanish line needed to be more extreme. But I think she was, I mean, yeah, she could have been more like 1% more dramatic or, you know, when they're doing that real shaping with the head thrown back and the arms. Yeah. Absolutely.
But she was great.
There could always be a tiny bit more performance, anything, because they're not professional dancers. But if you've ever seen Craig, I always really worry if you've ever seen Craig doing a little bit of a turn at the beginning of the show, he's so over the top and so exaggerated that I think some dancers probably look at him and go, all right, love, calm it down.
Yeah, but by comparison, everyone could give 10% more because Craig's giving it 400%.
He's really, the older he gets, the more he pushes it to try and look like he's still got it. But anyway, especially after those hip replacements. Shirley said she had laser vision, that she also was going to have to mark them down for the assisted lift. But she loved the La Paz with Nikita on his knees and everything. It was really, really good. Anton said he was in it from start to finish. And Motsi said she was seriously impressed and she made it special. Everyone got out the eight paddles, except for Craig, who gave them a six.
Yes.
Which I think was just taking the piss. That was one of the best dancers of the night.
Yeah, very, very, again, lots of, they've hit a plateau, a lot of them, and it's making the scoring very disparate, spread in a very, very weird way. And of course, maybe he was scoring them down because they didn't do the costumes we're expecting, which were either going to be Alan Sugar and Karen Brady, of course, or, my personal favourite, Donald Trump and Katie Hopkins.
Ew!
Oh, I imagine that. And also imagine them the wrong way around. Gender swapped Donald Trump and Katie Hopkins.
Why?
I don't know. It's nearly Halloween.
That's my nightmares for the next couple of weeks. Thanks.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And next we move on to Molly and Carlos, who did their couple's choice, which obviously was always going to be some kind of street dance because, you know, that's
Urbans,
what the younger couples always choose. To the Grange Hill theme tune, which obviously Molly presumably won't remember because she's a zygote.
Yes, exactly.
And they visited Sylvia Young Theatre School, from which she just graduated 5 minutes ago, and met Sylvia Young herself, who I was pleased to see was still alive.
That's nice.
Yes. And obviously all the kids in the kind of training montage, they said, like, we've come to show you our dance. They were all teeth, like every single one of them, so well trained. Like, sparkle, sparkle for the camera. You never knew who might be watching.
Yeah.
It's all, oh, God, stage school.
It's not a good move, weirdly. And obviously, we know who went so young. It's a pretty good, broad thing. It's Amy Winehouse. It's a pretty wild spread of people.
It's talented people.
But it's not all sort of little briefing counter children talking like that.
No.
It does a weird thing to your support for the person because it suddenly makes it look like their training started when they were 7.
You've come out of a factory, exactly.
And you go, oh.
Which, of course, they don't do ballroom,
no,
but still.
It's a really unfair thing. You kind of go, oh, hang on. I like the packages where it was obvious that you were, I don't know, a wildlife photographer or a footballer. But this goes, oh, this is a seamless transition from how you've been trained from, you've been to a sports camp.
Yeah.
You're one of these Russian dance bots.
Well, you're definitely wearing a kind of performance wonder bra, aren't you?
Yeah.
That you've already learned how to do that side of it. Now you're just concentrating on the steps.
It's
basically
completely unfair because the number of people from EastEnders who've also done West End musicals.
Yeah.
Loads of people have other training. But I think, weirdly, it's an odd one to choose to do and say, this is your big story, because it kind of makes her less likable.
I know, exactly.
Which is unfair because she's very likable.
Well, and as we saw this week, it didn't really seem to help her with the public.
No.
So this routine on paper had all the right things. It's a cheeky kind of bouncy, loads of potential for tricks and crazy stuff, dance to a kind of really upbeat, catchy tune. And all I kept thinking is put the props down, stop picking up props, stop it. Yeah. And they do this a lot on Strictly. They did it a lot with Bill and
Otie
when they were dancing together.
Yeah, they were always playing the banjo, weren't they?
Or picking a briefcase or an umbrella or something. You know, and they managed to sell it out. This, it just frustrated me. There was like dinner trays in the school canteen and then there was school bags. And it's just like none of this looks... Like, can somebody just stand back and look at the routine and say, right, you're really talented. You need to do some big fuck off tricks here because this is what people are waiting to see from you. And all the judges are like, yeah, it's not my favourite thing you've done. And it was, she did it well, but it just was the routine. What they didn't say, which they sort of was written in between every line they were saying, was, what the fuck? This routine could have been spectacular and you played it so boring and safe.
It was weird because everything this week felt like... Because they added props to a lot of things.
Yeah.
Which make you go, well, I don't like it because it makes me tense because I go, well, the prop could go wrong. Yeah. You could drop it. And that's quite exciting occasionally to have a hat and cane or something like that. But it's so easy on a live show for the prop to get dropped and it not be because the dancer's shit.
Yeah.
So I start going, well, I can't see if you're a good dancer because I'm just obsessing about your lunch tray or your bag or the football.
I hate it. It makes me whatever. So tense.
It's basically, it's as annoying as the CGI.
Yeah.
It's in the way. I can't quite see what's going on. And what it means is that with a dance like this, which I think I agree with the judges' comments, which felt safe, it also feels both safe and dangerous. I'm not enjoying it. I'd love to see someone do a safe dance where they were just spectacularly good at the things they're good at, but it's full of little sabotages.
It's not Carlos or whoever choreographed it, and it's not playing to her strengths. If you're as good at dancing as Molly is, and if you know, as if it's last week, that routine was insanely good. She's so capable. Why give her this routine, which you'd give to, frankly, someone another 10, 20 years older than her?
As a joke, yeah.
You put the lifts in. When someone's at this level already, you give them the kind of really tough stuff to do because they're up to the challenge.
Yeah.
And she was let down by the routine. And you could see it in her eyes. All the judges were saying things about the routine and how it was safe and it wasn't that exciting to watch. It's like, it's not your fault, love. You should have been given something much more to get your teeth into.
Did it remind you of Daz Sampson's Eurovision entry?
That was what it really did?
That was a problem for me as well, with all the school kids.
It should have been When I Grow Up from Matilda, and actually it was much more Daz Sampson.
Yes, you're right. Oh, the cat's coming.
There's a little cat. Come and do that to the microphone. It'll be adorable.
Anyway, we've had a meow.
She's not going to do it to the microphone.
Okay, lovely. But yes, I thought it was annoyingly, should have been great. They put a rap break in the middle of it when it should have been Just Say No.
Oh, that God, would have been
perfect.
Why?
Come on, gaps. We're doing TV gags, just carry on.
And then it's like Reithian because you're talking about drugs as well.
We could be educated.
Right, exactly. Anyway. There's so many missed opportunities. Craig, still clearly slightly losing his mind this week, gave them a 6. Everyone else, the wall of 8.
Yay.
Okay, then we go on to what probably would have been my other favourite dancer of the night, and he is just a bankably wonderful dancer, it turns out now. I saw on, where did I see it? Somewhere online, there was a video interview with him where he was saying, because he lives in Scotland. No, that's right. He did a radio interview with Kay Adams.
This is Hamza.
Yes, sorry. Hamza and Yvita.
Yes, good.
They did a quick step to some song or other that was apparently something to do with natural history, but I call bollocks.
David Attenborough's hit single.
Should have been Attenborough's hit single.
That's what this was. I mean, I don't keep up with what Attenborough's up to anymore.
Anyway, sorry, because my brain is slightly full of snot, so I can't keep a clear thought in my head. Hamza went on Kay Adams' Radio Scotland show and talked about, because I forgot, he lives in Scotland.
Yes, of course.
And whilst living in Scotland, he has found a love of the Cayley dance.
Oh.
So he has danced before, but only in the sense that he found himself at some Scottish knees up because he's now a local. And someone said, oh, you need to come and learn the Gay Gordons and the whatever.
Yeah.
And so he's had a go and realised for the first time living in Scotland, oh, I quite like this. He has no training, he has no formal, but it's where he first realised, oh, it's why it wasn't like he came straight from a Scottish forest and went, I'll try dancing. He knew he liked dancing and maybe word had got back to Strictly.
Well, that's lovely. Because I mean,
that's
what
he likes to dance.
Having done Cayley's, the things you get from a Cayley is you need to be confident and you need shitloads of stamina.
You also need to be really drunk, I find.
Yeah, maybe he's drunk.
Yeah.
That'd be lovely if he was really drunk.
I think certainly to do your first one, you just need to be absolutely hammered and not mind being grabbed by a Scotsman and thrown around the room. I can really recommend the ones at Cecil Sharp House. If you're in London and you suddenly have a yen to be hurled around a room by a Scotsman, let's face it, we've all had those moments. It's really, really good. You just get three whiskies hammered and then let someone have a go on you. It's marvellous.
Bounce on a sprung floor. Brilliant.
Anyway, we're diverting away from the dance. This was a really good dance. So annoyingly, the CGI budget had yet to be spent. So they
bears,
had to have
bears.
Fuck loads of polar bears in an ice cave. We can allow them that because there wasn't really anything to tie this together to either Hamza's job or the BBC. It was a total mess.
Apart from David Attenborough's hit song.
Apart from Attenborough on the decks doing he DJ'd. I don't think he sang, he just produced.
He's like David Ramjan Rodigan. He's like an unexpectedly sort of elderly British statesman who's huge in the dancehall community. Who knew?
Anyway,
David Ramjan Attenborough.
They did a quick step to his hit single. And it was beautiful. It highlighted his natural ability to pick up and perfect a dance. And Jovita was saying afterwards, no, he will take one little detail and just go at it for hours and hours to get it right. It looks, but he makes it look so easy. That's his ability. They picked him up on one loss of balance, but otherwise it was just dreamy.
Are you starting to take them for granted? Because I am.
Hamza's dances?
Yeah, as in,
I'm still looking at him going, how?
I got to the end of it and thought, that was wonderful. I went, no, that was wonderful. What's lovely about him, and I think this is what's starting to go. If we're going to say what was unenjoyable about this week, with them plateauing and hitting some tension, the things that are really, really flying for me are the relationships building.
Yeah.
And the people who have found their person and are now becoming a pair. And him and Jovita are a total pair.
Mm-hmm.
I look at both of them equally. I love their relationship.
They clearly
have a total joy in each other. And I'm starting to enjoy them not as celebrities now, but as pairings.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And rooting for them. Which happens.
Well, it's teams. You're now voting for teams.
Yeah,
aren't
I've got to know them because you know the dancers already very often. And some of them you didn't because I'm really, really
and
liking
the new ones
Carlos
that are coming through.
And Vito are lovely. Yeah. But you've got your people, you like your Jeanettes and your Karens and people like that on the way through.
Yeah.
But when they start to bond and you go, oh, you're a lovely pairing, without all the curse of Strictly Nonsense, I don't think anyone's banging this year.
And even if they are, well, fair enough.
Get on them. So, yeah, maybe they are. I don't know. But probably they're probably banging, but are being watched in a hive
don't
from
get
a distance.
Creepy. No, you're getting creepy
by
now.
Someone else on
Let's
camera.
Not. Let's
Chris
not.
Packham's watching them. No, and it's natural. It's fine.
Taking photos. No, come on.
On a long lens. But, what I'm loving about them, I think, as a pairing, they're brilliant. And I'm really, really the joy of it. And they are just adorable.
It's what Motsy said. She feels like she knows him.
Yeah.
But she doesn't know him. But he somehow makes himself vulnerable and knowable on the dance floor. There's something about his performance that invites you in and says, hi, I'm Hamza and this is you. It's a very welcoming sight, him dancing. He does make it look really easy. That's what Shirley said. And Anton just said, charming dancer. And apart from Craig picking out the one loss of balance there and telling him that his toes are turning still naturally a little bit in, he is a fantastic dancer. He got the joint top score of the night, 3 9s and an 8 from old Misery Guts.
Yep.
So equal top with Helen, which I thought was quite apt. So now we move on to, this is the one that threw me most on the night, Tango to the Casualty theme tune. So I was looking forward to it.
It's a winner.
That is a great combination. Also, it turns out the Casualty theme tune is too short to dance to, so you really have to spin that sucker out. Ellie and Johannes did this weird... See, I just wrote down that it was a terrible comic bit of business at the start, and then everyone said how much they loved it. So they had like a kind of a Resuscy Annie kind of plastic dummy under a sheet, and they talked about how best to resuscitate this plastic dummy. Ha ha, how funny. And it just made me want them to stop talking. I didn't like it.
I thought this was a good bit because this was... about there's two things that can happen on TV themes week.
Yeah.
One is you can choose some absolute banger TV themes and everyone can go, wow, well, aren't TV themes amazing?
I know.
And the other thing to do is make a joke out of it and say they're dancing to something unlikely, like you were doing a sketch. You'd say, this was a good sketch joke, as in, and I love the fact that Ellie said, I did this with my sister as a kid. And you're like, oh, that's exactly what this should be. I think this was one of two or three moments this evening that was the spirit of doing TV themes.
It was.
As in, unlikely mashups will do for me.
But then so the tango is always a weird one, because obviously when you get a comedian doing a tango, sometimes the most effective thing can be look at this funny person. It was definitely the case with Bill Bailey. Look at this funny person. Look how they're suddenly switching character, totally immersing themselves in this dance and doing something very serious. And she, and they kind of did do that with her, but they started off with her in her day job, effectively. I think they should just have picked one or the other. It's sort of slightly, I don't know. It was a weird gear change for them to do some strange... Yeah. Slightly subpar humour and then go into a totally stony-faced tango. It was weird.
Yeah, I wanted one or the other. I wanted them to carry on being silly or be really serious.
Exactly. But I think there probably is a way of doing a comedy tango.
I liked it as a sketch. I think the what Bill's proven that there is mileage in the comedian taking themselves seriously.
Yeah.
This I was quite excited about. Hang on. Can we do the comedian? Can we make them just be funny?
Yeah.
And this and then Jade next was a really good example of get comedians on and let them do Saturday Night Entertainment.
Right.
It's the kind of thing, again, you're talking about the heritage of Morecambe and Wise. What's funny on Morecambe and Wise is they do the stripper and make breakfast.
Yeah.
They choose a piece of music that doesn't go with something.
Yeah.
And this felt Saturday Night, Ellie... there would be a funny routine on a sketch show where someone danced the casualty thing. Vic and Bob would do it. And I quite liked that about it. And I felt quite comfortable with that and I enjoyed it. And the other thing, let's just point out again, they are warming up, the two of them. I was
very
worried
much.
At the beginning they were a little bit chilly with each other because they're both so nice.
Yeah.
And they are, again, I can see them. That little sketch.
You get that team now, don't
I went,
you?
I think they're enjoying messing about. And
yeah,
that
I suppose
I
so. I suppose that does help, doesn't it? Craig had a very odd reaction to it. He said... He loved the opening, thought it was really funny, and then said he wasn't sure about the, and I quote, generic lobotomised version of the tango that they followed it with. Lobotomised, like, that was a bit much, I thought.
Is that the operation they were doing on the... They were doing lobotomy?
They were doing lobotomy, clearly. I thought that was a bit cruel. I just don't think he quite knew how to take it. Shirley says her left arm, where she was in contact with Johannes, was brilliant. They remarked on her standing leg. So, like, that neck, she was trying to get the tango neck right. She did a lot right. She's definitely still improving, which is great. To be in week five and to still be getting better is doing her a lot of favours. And also, she is just a pleasure to watch.
Yeah.
So it was not brilliant, but it was good. It was 3 sevens and Anton gave them an 8, which I think is kind of fair and a good solid score for this week. So now we move on to Jade and Karen, who actually, I noted, even still on Sunday today, got Victoria Wood trending for the whole weekend.
Wow.
Because it was like a lovely way to remind people, if you could ever forget, what a genius that woman was. And she was dressed as her, sort of in her 1980s stand-up guys, kind of sort of a splashy shirt and a kind of bowl-cut wig, the blonde straight bowl cut. She looked the part perfectly, and then Karen was sort of dressed in kind, really. And they did a Charleston to the Ballad of Barry and Frieda. So, you know, let's do it, do it. An absolutely brilliant song. It never gets old. It's just absolutely fantastic. Clearly another, we keep pointing out every time Jade gets a gig, it's like on Strictly, it's always like another iconic thing, another dream come true.
Yes.
She's been living her dreams on this show.
It's a bit, I'm waiting, it's a bit Make-A-Wish Foundation. I'm worried that she's actually going to
die.
Don't
say that.
But she appears to be every week going, is this another thing you've always wanted to do? Like next week she's going to, I don't know, kill a badger with her bare hands. I've always wanted to do this.
So are you trying to pretend that she didn't get knocked out this week?
I'm trying to be nice about it.
We're going to have to face reality. She has gone to live on a farm. She's very happy there.
What about her dream to hunt a man across a wood? With a crossbow. What about Jade's other dreams?
I am slightly mourning the fact that she didn't get to do Halloween week because it would have been, I'm guessing, a hoot.
Actually, yes. The things that are... Yeah, I think the great tragedy of people going out at all on this little run of dress up weeks.
Yeah.
Is you always want to go, oh, can everyone just get to the end
of
dress
up? Can there be a little interregnum period where they don't go?
Blackpool sod it. I mean, Blackpool's a big thing for the actual competition, but in terms of wanting to watch all the celebrities play with their characters, I want to see the whole cast get to Halloween week. And it's gutting because Jade, I think, would have absolutely smashed Halloween week.
The woman wears a wig and a costume rather well.
That was her shtick. She's got cabaret background. She's amazing.
She is a performer and she calls herself a former Adele drag act. She doesn't even sort of call it just a tribute. It was a drag act. She's very good at sort of the big makeup and the big hair and the whole bit. So anyway, she was doing this Charleston. Charleston, in one way, is brilliant for her because it's funny and full of character. But in another way, I thought this week was the first week I noticed Karen doing a lot more.
Yeah.
And in the Charleston, sometimes one of the couple, if it's a mixed sex couple, is doing a lot of the kind of providing the foundations for some of the lifts and tricks. But I thought it just in terms of what they said to her last week about when you're about to lift someone, make sure you're dancing the transitions, yeah, dancing the gaps. And some of the times I did look at Karen more because she was doing a lot more interesting stuff and Jade was sort of slightly less energetic.
We're watching Saturday Night Entertainment, and yeah, this was Saturday Night Entertainment. It reminds you of what this show is, which would be, there'd be songs and dances and things like that.
It was stepping back in time a bit, wasn't it? It was lovely.
A lot of the songs tonight really benefited. There were lyrics, because it gave it more than... You suddenly realise that TV themes sometimes are a bit empty of content, apart, yeah, from theme. The stuff that had energy sometimes and attack had words to it, and that was really helping. But then I suddenly slipped back into not enjoying the routine, not enjoying the song, yeah, all the great stuff, and went, I'm going to watch the dancing, and went, ah, there are gaps. There, yeah, are bits where Jade was waiting for Karen or waiting to pick her up.
Which
or,
is just what they called her out on last week.
Yeah, that thing of going, you're using a lot of energy and performance to cover up the fact that sometimes you're waiting.
The thing is, when you've got the performance, I think you can use it to cover a lot. Especially, I think stand-ups, you know, there's always like a... Yeah. They're very, what's the word? They're kind of, their stage persona, whatever is going on off stage, is confident and a bit sort of swaggery.
Yeah.
And a bit cool and a bit, if you come for me, I'll come straight back. And that's Jade on stage. She, yeah, is extremely commanding. And whatever's going on inside, you'd never know because she's just being cool. And sometimes that can lead to, I think, just in their minds, that kind of personality makes shortcuts and,
yeah,
and just sort of and papers over the cracks with razzle dazzle because that's what they're good at.
Yeah.
But that it's never on Strictly a replacement for technique. And if you're not getting it or if you're not able to produce it, then the judges were starting to find that her performance was at 10, but the rest of it, yeah, wasn't coming up as quickly as some of the other dancers.
Which is a shame because she's so...
She's wonderful to watch.
She's been one of the iconic...
But I wonder how much further her skills would have gone had she stayed in. I'm not sure how much further.
The thing I said about Richie when Richie went out was I think that I wasn't looking forward to thinking, I wonder what Richie's going to do next week.
No,
I think I've seen what Jay does. And I love it every week.
And that might be unfair, but yeah, I think I agree with you.
I wasn't going to suddenly see something surprising from her, I think. And maybe that's why people... Because effectively, what people are voting for when it comes down to it is who are you desperate to see again next week?
I know.
And maybe that's what happened.
Well, that's it. I mean, Craig, he was pretty harsh tonight anyway. Pretty harsh on Saturday night. This isn't like Strictly where we're pretending it's a different night. This is Sunday. I don't know why I said tonight. I really am delirious with snot. He said it was a bit thrown away and not very clean and it needed double the amount of energy. And I think that was perhaps a bit much. But Shirley also talked about some of the arms being a bit thrown away and... You know, if when people are disciplining their whole bodies in the way that some of these celebrities are now, you can't kind of plaster over the cracks, yeah, with a big performance or some great, you know, some great sort of comic work. You've got to be up to the standards of everybody else. It's week 5 and they just, Motsy agreed her dancing needed to develop more. I think I could have taken at least one more week from Jade. I am sad she went.
Yeah, I'm gutted about missing Halloween week.
But the second it was announced who she was in the dance-off with, like, she was toast.
Yeah.
Anyway, Craig gave her a 6, Motsy and Shirley 7s, and Anton an 8, because obviously he does really appreciate the performance. She is great to watch. This is the first week I looked at Karen more than her, which is perhaps an indication that things weren't going to be as good as they had been. But I'm so glad she's been in the competition. I've loved watching her. Okay, so next we've got Will and Nancy, who did a Viennese waltz to the Line of Duty. They did the full kind of like interrogation scene in the training beforehand, which I thought was really badly written again, and I wish they wouldn't do it. He put in a really good effort. I think that they were another victim of the Wall of Eights. They got 8s from every judge. I always liked Nancy's choreography. I liked watching it. I wouldn't say there was anything marvellously memorable about it. I think he's sort of back to being a good, solid mid-table guy again.
Yeah, he started out and there was a sensational... His arrival was so sensational. Everyone, what the hell? And he is just that good and that determined. It was a masculine waltz, which I wrote down before the judges said it.
Ooh.
Which I thought was really interesting because one of the things that happens when the waltz comes in, very often it's the most feminine and the most flowing
dance.
Yes,
it had an edge, didn't it?
And it had, because it's a police drama, he's in it, he's an actor, he's a very, very masculine man.
Yeah.
They managed to give it sort of a bit of tango energy and I really enjoyed that. I went, oh, this is new.
Yeah.
Halfway through I went, oh, it's a waltz because it was done with attack and
it
was really
good.
I'm annoyed the lanyards weren't loose. There were lots of flailing lanyards. Maybe it's a high risk health and safety thing. But if you're going to dance with lanyards, let's have them flying around.
Like
again.
You said, if Hamza can do it with his hair.
I want to see the lanyards behind like an Isadora Duncan scarf.
Yeah, take the
risk.
I liked how for some reason this week Shirley got quite vindictive, just quietly, with a couple of seemingly throwaway remarks that were actually a bit sort of like a dagger in the ribs. She said, obviously she gave him an 8, but she said with a very knowing look to Will as she was delivering her judgment, "I can see you want to make the final, but just calm it down a bit." And it's like, you've just tainted him with the sin of ambition. You know exactly what that does. Underdogs, we love. Ambitious people who think they're going to make the final, they're out next week. So that was a very knowing thing she did there. And I'm not sure she was trying to scupper him. Maybe because he's rejected her womanly advances in the changing rooms.
Surely that was a proper like sort of a gangster thing. Nice dancing career you've got here. Shame if it got smashed. It's a proper Piranha Brothers threat. It was
obviously
nasty.
I'm reading a lot into this that probably isn't there, but that's why I enjoy the show so much, because I get to do that.
Again, this is the kind of storylining we want to give to James.
Yes, duff, 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 duff. He was up 9 points on his dance last week when he was, and obviously now I'm poorly with a cold. I can really feel for him and empathise with how difficult that must have been. But he's 9 points up on last week, so he's going in the right direction. Then we move on to, I think this is the week for me that Tony has turned. So Tony and Katya did a cha-cha-cha to the Grandstand theme tune. Again, proper theme tune.
Yeah.
Proper. Thank you.
Good celebrity match.
Yeah, exactly. And my favourite thing about it was when Craig said it reminded him of Death Becomes Her.
Yes.
When that woman falls down the stairs and her head's facing the wrong way. I completely agree. I think he was absolutely spot on, even though it was a very harsh thing to say. It was stompy and artless, and he has completely bottomed out in terms of his development as a dancer. There is nowhere else for him to go. And now every week he will haplessly, clumsily, like if they make him Frankenstein next week, that would probably really work. Just be his, every time he turns around, he'll knock over another dancer and like knock them out of the competition. Oh, sorry, sorry.
They're passing electricity through his corpse, aren't they? Got that sort
really?
Of feeling. He's
a week
jerking.
Too soon.
Yeah, the death becomes, I was trying to write down what it looked like. I went, oh, it's like claymation or something. It looks like sort of that thing where you're wondering that the thing is animated at all. And what I kept writing down, which is the wrong, again, like you said, you were looking at Karen and not at Jade. I suddenly was something. I am just looking at what a good teacher Katya is.
And she was wearing that amazing white tennis outfit. So your eye was just drawn to her anyway as the kind of brightest spot on the screen.
But all I could watch was, I went, you are astonishing. She is so talented.
She's amazing.
She's so, what she's doing with what is effectively a dead body. it was like, it's again, one of those routines you see on Saturday Night Entertainment where someone would do a dance and it would be one person with a stuffed ballroom dancer.
He was the stuffed bit.
Old Bernie Clifton and his ostrich. It's got a thing where one of the things is inanimate and has been given magical life by an astonishing wizard. She is a wizard with unpromising dancers.
Yeah.
The amount of stuff she gave him to do, because what you do normally with a shit dancer is don't give him anything to do.
No.
She gave him a million things to do. He got to the end without killing anybody, which is astonishing. It was like sort of stand well back while the machine's working, because you'll get your tie caught and it'll kill you.
Yeah.
But it's not fun to watch.
It wasn't fun to watch. And I do feel like, I forget this happened. I think I just thought, oh, I finally softened up. It's fine to have a Widdicombe. It's fine if there's, because, you know, it's someone who's getting a little bit better every week. Yeah. But if you're not getting any better, in fact, he's considerably worse this week, then it's really going to hurt when the good people start going home. And this week definitely was the case that the wrong Adams entirely went home. The audience is now, this is boating with boat face. It sort of curdles my, what does it curdle? I don't know. Something.
Like the marrow?
That could, yes, probably.
Curdles your marrow.
But it really, it pisses me off because he got a 3 from Craig, which I think was entirely fair, and a 4 from Shirley. Whatever the other two thought, they gave him 6s. It was a very low quality performance. All of his castmates were chanting his name afterwards, and it's like they've given him the status of underdog. And now, because we're so predictable, do not feed the underdog, basically.
Yeah.
But we're going to feed him and feed him and feed him. And all these really good dancers are going to just be kicked out.
He gets
all the way to Blackpool, waddling around like a duck. You know?
Yeah, he's now like a novelty. He's a football mascot.
Things can change in a week.
It's like they've put the football mascot in goal. And you go, no, proper goalkeeper, because the football mascot, he's got a big head.
And he was getting better. You forget the cha-cha-cha is a dance that often draws attention to what people can't do because it's so hard. This was a joke. They were throwing balls at him that just completely missed. There were loads of props. At one point, they just had him holding a tennis racket for a good 10 seconds while they projected a tennis court onto the dance floor. It's like, come on, you know,
so
you've
many
got
distractions.
Nothing.
And the only thing you can say about him, which is obviously it's a good pun, is he's a good sport. And it's not enough in week five to be in there because you're a good sport.
Oh, and I think it's going to take him beyond week five as well. It's going to become the controversy of the series, as per bloody usual.
Fantastic. What were scores again?
He got a 3 from Craig, a 6 from Motsi, a 4 from Shirley and a 6 from Anton.
So the sixes are too much.
You can't have a sixes just because you can do one New Yorker in a reasonably convincing way. I reckon I could probably do a New Yorker without any training at all. Anyway, after the brief and wonderful insertion of Angela Rippon into
proceedings,
which frankly, she should have been in it a lot more. She was also on It Takes Two this week and was absolutely outstanding. And it was like watching someone half her age. She's so vital. She's so gorgeous in front of the camera. I'm slightly teed off now that she's not in Strictly Every Week. If they could find a way to incorporate her, that would be delightful. Thank you.
This week, dancing round Angela Rippon will be.
I would love that so much. This one was a game of two halves. It was Kim and Graziano's tribute to the original Come Dancing. It was a quick step and traditional, and her costume made me want to die. It was so beautiful.
Yes.
She looked so lovely. Those skirts, those endless chiffon layers of netting and skirts, so lovely. But they did it to Ballroom Blitz, which is not a fucking theme tune.
No, it's not.
But anyway, we knew what they were getting at.
And also, high risk, when you do something from glam rock and you go, it's BBC celebrating 100 years, it does remind you of Top of the Pops.
I know.
And a particular era of Top of the Pops that BBC might not want to remind you of. Really high risk exercise.
They did manage to keep it away from that by styling it so traditionally.
It was lovely.
And by the inclusion of Rippon and giving them a proper introduction with the full works.
I felt that, because they had good quick step energy, but the problem was Dave Arch was so excited at playing the guitar on Ballroom Blitz that band were going twice as fast as they were. Because Ballroom Blitz is great fun to play. And you got the finish.
But it has got to be quick for a quick step.
Yeah, but I felt that the band was showing up their energy because the band was so just wired. They're on Preludin. Yeah. It was amazing. they were like the Beatles in Hamburg. And I felt that it made their dance look sluggish compared to how fast the band
was
going.
Did you think so? Okay, so this is one of those things where I think I did watch, because I watched in a different room. I watched a different show this week. This was my Dance of the Night by about 100 million miles.
It was really good.
I loved the way she looked. I loved the way they danced together. I thought her footwork was amazing considering how fast it was going. The shapes she made were beautiful. It felt like I'd gone back in time, except if you just couldn't quite hear the music. Yeah. It was my favourite thing to watch, absolutely, without question. And then the judges came down really quite hard on her and they said that her hold wasn't good and it was kind of loose. And this is Shirley's other bitchy comment of the night, where she made something about, I think maybe stamina was a problem tonight, was it? Like, basically, you're out of breath, love. God. All right, fat stuff. Like, you can't keep up with the pace. Like, she totally did keep up.
She's going to push her down the stairs like in Showgirls. It's going to be amazing.
I don't know who she's going to go for, but she's going to go for someone, because she's been quite... She called it her frame loosey-goosey. She was really trying to use the most like hurtful words tonight, and I don't really know why.
Mean shirt.
Tonight, I did it again, sorry.
Mean shirt.
She was mean. I don't know where it came from. She said thanks for the memory, because the first time she was ever on Come Dancing was like in the 1980s and she was like a teenager or something.
Yeah.
And Motsi said it was like she was a ray of sunshine. She was beautiful. But she also did say that the hold was a little bit loose. And Anton said her footwork was great, but he'd noticed some self-doubt creeping in. I didn't think so. Craig didn't think so either. He said she looked confident, but that her frame needed work. But she did fly around the floor, which is what you've got to do with a quick step. I just absolutely adored it. Craig gave a 7, Motsi a 7, Shirley a 6. And everyone kind of went, what?
They're better than that.
And Anton a 7. So, yeah, she got 7s. I think she deserved a lot more.
Yeah.
Although I really, really regret who was in the dance-off, I'm so glad Kim wasn't, because she did not deserve to be.
Yeah.
That was a great dance.
I'd feel really bad watching Kim go home early, because I think that she's a classic in the last to semi or quarter final in any old series. Strictly, she's exactly the dream. She's a TV presenter who can dance. It's great.
I think she's terrific. I think, yeah, she makes it look to me almost as easy as Hamlet makes it look. And I don't understand how they're marking her so low when they're marking him so high.
You want to really rate the people who make it a pleasure to watch, because it's an entertainment show. Who do I enjoy watching? I really enjoy watching Kim
Me
every week.
Too.
She's good.
Love her. So we finished up the night on Saturday with Helen and Hamza sharing the top of the leaderboard. Tony was way down at the bottom, I think almost 10 points adrift from his nearest person, which was James. And I assumed that at least James would be in the bottom two and therefore would probably go because he's not as good as some of the others.
Yeah.
And obviously the dance-off, it does this sometimes, completely surprised me. Jade was in the bottom two.
With Dave Arch,
which is shocking.
Really shocking.
So Claudia tried to offer to take his place. She wept. She keened.
It was the most unexpected dance-off ever. No, sorry. It was Jade and Molly. Yeah.
Which was a real shocker. But like you said, I think the whole stage school thing didn't necessarily make people warm to her. Even though she's great, the slightly underwhelming choreography of the couple's choice, it should have been her big showcase.
Yeah.
Also didn't do her any favours. Anyway, for whatever reason, two really good performers in the bottom two. And I think, obviously, I'm sure the minute Jade found out who she was dancing off with, it was all over. And she had to start turning that ship around of, I'm on Strictly, to I'm about to not be on Strictly. Which must be really hard to do when you've dreamed of being on it since you were a child. Yeah, I was really sad to see Jade go. It was inevitable once it was Molly who was competing against her. I hate these. You always get these, the dance-offs that should never be.
Yeah.
Because of the stupid boat-faced British public, they're inevitable because we'll always go, it'll be right laugh to vote for Tony, even though he's shit. I think we've reached that point now where I wish that the United Kingdom would understand how that's not that funny anymore when some really good people have to start leaving.
Oh, no.
Oh, have I bleached you out?
That was really political.
You look really sad.
Basically making me think of like Brexit and things. That's really horrible. I didn't want to think of that. That's the whole point of Strictly, is that we forget about voting and problems with voting and problems with the public. We stop thinking about that.
On the bright side, that funny man, Boris Johnson's coming back, so that'll be a right laugh.
Or he'll be in the dance-off next week. That'll be good. I'd like that. What's he going to do?
Sorry, I got a little bit distressed there. Back to the dancing.
It's fine. Keep staring at the dancers. They are the spangly distraction from all bad things.
I know. At least
Bread and Circuses. Come on.
Exactly, because we can look forward to Halloween next
Yay!
Week, which is usually 50% great, 50% terrible, and someone always goes out looking like an absolute twerp.
Yes, brilliant. Someone going out dressed as a crab. Someone going out dressed as a crab. Someone sad dressed as a crab.
A sad crab. Sad we can look crab. Forward to at least one sad crab. Next week. But until then, come and find us. We're on Twitter at Curse of Strictly. Thank you for listening. Sorry if I've been a bit of a grumpy girl this week. I am quite snotty and I want to go back to bed. Joel literally woke me up from a nap to do this and now I'm going back there. I love you all. Thank you for listening and we will see you next week. But in the meantime,
don't stop dancing.
Achoo!